This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Thursday, July 16th, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nelly. Here's today's headlines. Reconciliation package released. Corn growers want long-term certainty for USMCA and status of Iran supplemental unclear. The House Budget Committee on Wednesday released the GOP's third reconciliation package. The concurrent resolution would boost government funding by $95 billion for FY27 through 2036. The package would allow the House Agriculture Committee increase the federal deficit by no more than $12 billion. Chairman Glenn G.T. Thompson said to AgriPulse that the funds will provide aid to farmers impacted by weather, economic losses, and trade. Other congressional committees also will be permitted to increase funding levels. The House Armed Service Committee, $60 billion. House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, $13 billion. And House Administration Committee, $10 billion. We will use every tool and resource at our disposal to govern our great nation and deliver on behalf of the freedom-loving people who gave us unified Republican leadership, House Budget Committee Chairman Jody Arrington of Texas said in a press release. The panel will hold a markup today. Arrington said Reconciliation 3.0 will stop Democratic obstruction, support our troops, and safeguard the integrity of our elections. Members and officials of the National Corn Growers Association in Washington, D.C. for their biannual Corn Congress said yesterday one of the top priorities is renewing the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. The Trump administration opted not to renew the agreement on July 1st, but it will remain in place for the next decade and be reviewed annually in the meantime. What we are pushing for now is a long-term certainty around this agreement. Leslie Weber McNitt, NCGA's Vice President of Public Policy, said. She told members that Representative Rudy Yakim of Indiana circulating a letter to be sent to the Trump administration expressing congressional support for the USMCA. Representative Randy Feenster of Iowa expressed support for the USMCA at the event. He noted that Canada is a key trading partner and for ethanol in Mexico, the top buyer of U.S. corn. USMCA is so important. We've got to make sure that we hold on to USMCA, Feenstra said. He said he was the recipient of the National Corn Growers President's Award. There is nothing settled regarding President Trump's June 24th supplemental request for over $11 billion in farm funding, according to Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa yesterday. The president tackled the agriculture funding and tacked it on to an $87.6 billion total request, the majority of which was defense funding for the Iran conflict. As noted above, the House Budget Committee released a resolution that includes allowing the Agriculture Committee to add $12 billion to the deficit known as the Reconciliation 3.0. Grassley, Senator Tina Smith of Minnesota, and House Ag Committee Chair Thompson told AgriPulse they don't know the status of the funding request. Smith added, it's cynical to attach those agriculture relief dollars to a much, much larger military budget that's going to be very difficult for most Democrats to support given this illegal war. The supplemental funding, of course, they need it, but as my farmers say, they want trade, not aid. House Ag Committee member April McCain Delaney of Maryland said June 24th. And unless we change the policies, they're going to be at the same place again next year. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Located in Washington, D.C., Watkinson Miller has been providing legal services to the agriculture industry for more than 30 years. The attorneys at Watkinson Miller possess a unique combination of knowledge, skills, and experience working with commodity boards and their partner organizations and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Watkinson Miller is proud to serve the agriculture community by delivering top quality legal services that achieve cost effective results.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins touted USDA's efforts to modernize the agency's data collection at an event held with corn growers yesterday at the USDA Witten Building. Over nearly 35 years, Rollins said the National Agriculture Statistics Service has seen a drastic drop in participation rates for its surveys, along with increased frustration, especially from corn growers, about the data in its reports. In 1992, she said response rates ranged between 80 and 85%. By 2016, that survey number had dropped to 55 to 65%. And since 2016, the response rates have continued to decline. They now average in the 30% range. Deputy Secretary Vaden said for June reports, NASA sent out more surveys than it normally does. So even if the participation rate remains the same, which it basically did, we have far more actual individual responses that have come in, with the expectation being there's less chance that we'll miss something, Vaden said. The department plans to release a report in the next few months on its plan to modernize NAS data gathering. Vaden mentioned a partnership with Colorado State University, which has been working with NAS to use satellite data, quote, to give us crop information about how well the crop is developing without anyone having to actually visit the fields. Kip Tom, ambassador to the United Nations Agencies for Food and Agriculture during the first Trump administration, will be a special government employee working on the project. Committees in both the House and the Senate have advanced their versions of the Water Resources Development Act, a biennial bill that guides the development and repair of water infrastructure projects across the U.S. The Senate Environment and Public Works Committee yesterday approved its version of the legislation, sending it to the chamber floor. In the meantime, the House version advanced through the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee on Tuesday. In a statement following committee approval of the House bill, National Grain and Feed Association President Mike Seifert applauded the committee's advancement of the measure, which he said, quote, provides critical certainty for planning and investing in the infrastructure that supports farmers, agribusinesses, and rural communities. After the Senate committee's approval, Seifert says, quote, NGFA looks forward to working with lawmakers to advance this legislation and ensure a final bipartisan water bill reaches the president's desk this year. The Commerce Department has authorized new 8.26% tariffs on Canadian fresh mushroom growers as a part of a preliminary ruling on anti-dumping claims brought by U.S. growers, but set different rates for a few individual operations. While the agency authorized an 8.26% tariff on Canadian mushroom growers broadly, Highline Produce will see an 11.8% rate. Meanwhile, Champs Fresh Farms and Loveday Mushroom Farms will see 8.71 tariffs. Farmers Fresh Mushrooms will see a 2% tariff. A group of U.S. growers argued last fall that their Canadian counterparts were selling mushrooms below their fair value, a practice known as dumping, and they were propped up by subsidies from the Canadian government. In May, Commerce issued a preliminary ruling on the subsidization question and authorized a general 2.84% tariff. The tariffs remain provisional and could change when Commerce issues its final determination, currently expected in December this year. Representative Zach Nunn of Iowa and Don Davis of North Carolina have introduced a companion legislation for the Fostering Agriculture Research and Modernization through Artificial Intelligence Act, the Farm AI, which would designate AI as a priority research area and create an AI advisor role at the Agriculture Department. The bill would also provide AI training and workforce development and technical training and programs to producers. The Senate version was referred to the Agriculture Committee, but there has been no further action. Here's today's final word. Ongoing research and development drive innovation in the seed industry, and intellectual property rights provide the incentive and protection to sustaining that innovation. Whether new varieties and technologies are developed by private seed companies, universities, or consortiums, they choose the method of IP protection that best suits their business model, enabling the seed industry to bring new varieties and technologies to America's farmers, land managers, and consumers every year. That's a word of Andy Levine. He's president and CEO of the American Seed Trade Association, responding to a bill from Representatives Jim McGovern and Greg Cesar in Texas that limits seed patentability. Well, that's Daybreak for this Thursday, July 16th, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Dowling.